You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Matt Markins. He's the president and CEO of Awana. Matt and his wife Katie have been married for more than 25 years, and I guess we should say you have two adult children.
Young adult kids.
Yeah. I know both of these kids. They are good kids. They're following the Lord and doing what they can to impact the kingdom for the gospel. So, Matt, it's just so good to have you here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Eddie.
Thank you for what you're doing with Awana. Mm. We appreciate that. So many churches have benefited from that. When I was a pastor, as you know, we used Awana, and it was just a great help to us. But today I want to talk to you about this book that you've written called The Faith of Our Children, 8 Timely Research Insights for Discipling the Next Generation. So I want to encourage all of our folks out there, if you've not gotten a copy of this book, pick it up. You can go to d6family.com. Anywhere you buy good books, we would say, you can pick up a copy of this. But Matt, what led you to write this book in the first place?
Well, the church discipled me. You know, I was in a home where my parents were divorced, but my mother and my stepfather, if the church doors were open, they took us to church. And although I had this really rough relationship with my biological father, man, so many of the men and women in the local church stepped up, and over a long period of time, I was just discipled from childhood into student years and young adult years. And so I have a passion for the church. I've spent my whole life, I think, being grateful and just like, how do I help the church fulfill her mission? And so when Katie and I came across Awana in 2010, we thought there was something different about it. Like, there's some different ingredients happening, and that led me ultimately to joining the organization in 2012, 2013. And when I did, I started asking the question, like, hey, what is it that made this? At that point, Awana was 63 years old. I wanted to know, like, where it was successful, what made it successful. Mm-hmm. And along that journey, you kind of keep honing in on your question, getting more and more articulate for what question you're really trying to figure out. So the question that we've been trying to figure out is this right here. Mm-hmm. What is it the church does that leads to lasting faith in kids? Wow. So when a child remains in faith into the student years and young adulthood, like, what was happening there that formed lasting faith? So that one question has really been the singular pursuit we've been after, and it's been the center of the target that we've been aiming for the last decade as we've been trying to understand child faith formation.
That's great. And we should say you work for D6 Family Ministries, the co-founder really of the D6 conference. And
yeah, so important to me, like the way Ron Hunter invested in me and mentored me and shaped my thinking. And so my work with D6 and Awana is just kind of two chapters of one ongoing story.
All goes together. And so you're like, hey, we just really want to have some answers to this. So then you go out, everyone knows the name George Barna and knows all about the Barna Group and what they do. Yep. So it sounds like you went and commissioned these folks to help answer these questions, didn't
you? A couple of names that your audience may know. Yes. Not only the Barna Group, but also Mark McPeak. I've done a lot of research with Mark McPeak. I've commissioned several projects with him. So over the course of about 11 years now, we've commissioned 11 projects. So I guess about one per year on average. But every one of those projects, obviously, you're asking a different set of questions. Mm-hmm. But all 11 of those projects have been in the space of what you might casually call children's ministry, but we would in a more focused way say child discipleship. How are we discipling kids? How are we as adults participating with God and helping to shape and influence kids? So, 11 projects over the course of 11 years. Yeah.
Wow. And so with this project, you're trying to find out, what is it? What's the key? And actually write about it in this book.
Yeah.
Maybe give our listeners kind of a thumbnail sketch of
what
you found with this research.
So if we were to distill all of the research down to really what are the three primary factors that shape childhood faith, no one really says it better than Christian Smith. Some of your listeners probably understand and know who Christian Smith is and read his work. But he said that in student faith formation, there are three things that when all three are present, shape the faith of a student. And those three factors are relationships, scripture engagement, and experiences. We have found the exact same thing with children, and we call those three things belong, believe, become. Belong is highly relational ministry, mm-hmm. believe is deeply scriptural ministry, and become is truly experiential. Maybe I could take a minute to kind of unpack
Absolutely.
Each one of those.
Yeah. Please do.
So again, your church may not use that language, belong, believe, become, but the meaning underneath each one of those three, belong, again, highly relational. That's having a local church culture mm-hmm. and community and strategy where kids are known, kids are seen, they know they belong, they know that someone understands their world. Like if I'm a child like me whose parents were divorced, I want to know that someone at that church is aware of that, mm-hmm. understands my unique needs, and is checking up on me and making sure that I'm growing and develop and being cared for. So kids who are in an environment that's highly relational, if you've got kids in your children's church, you know, are you checking up on them? Like, hey, how did that basketball tournament go? Or I know you were really psyched about being a part of the statewide spelling bee or whatever those things are.
Yeah.
Is there someone tracking with that kid?
So you're talking about really Titus 2, and you get
yes,
into this. And
yes.
Basically taking someone underneath your wing, and whatever it is, wherever you live, like people like to hunt, people like to fish, or people like sports, you're saying get kids involved in that.
Yes.
When kids are doing things, find out what they're doing. The
Correct.
Relationship, the belonging is really key.
Yeah, so think about a public school system. A public school system has essentially a file on each child. What I'm not suggesting that literally the church mm-hmm. have a file. Maybe that is a good idea. I don't know. It'd be up for your church to decide. But what if you had a mentality of we have a file on each, meaning we know the uniqueness of each child who's in our children's ministry.
Yes.
If you've got 33 kids or 12 or 100, having your volunteers trained that they see kids, they know them, they understand their needs, mm-hmm. and they're trained on how to really care for kids and how to disciple them. So that first factor is highly relational. But it's not just what's mm-hmm. happening at church. It's making sure parents are trained to, hey, take that phone. I'm going to put that phone away.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a culture of connecting in our home where we're going to be highly relational at home as well. But that second factor, no surprise, with people of the Bible, that second factor is deeply scriptural.
Mm.
So that's having a local church, children's ministry community where, you know, kids hear and see the Bible on a regular basis. Technology is amazing, but when I'm working with kids, I don't use an iPad when I'm teaching or an iPhone. I want them see me holding a real physical Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like no clarity. There's no lack of clarity. I'm not up there goofing around on this iPad. I'm reading from God's holy scriptures. Let them touch it. Let them feel it. Put the words up on the screen for the kids who can read. We're going to sing songs that are scripture-based. We're going to memorize scripture together. We're going to have it posted around on the walls, and that children see that this is a scripture-rich environment. And then we figure out ways to push that toward the home as well.
Wow.
And that third factor is experiential, which is what we call become. So belong, relational, believe scriptural, the third piece, become experiential. We think about experiences in three different ways. How are children experiencing the world around them? You mentioned earlier, like, hey, they go fishing or whatever it is that kids do. How are they experiencing the world? How are they living out their freedom in Christ and their freedom in this world? But not just their normal everyday experiences, but how are they also experiencing the practices of discipleship? How are they experiencing Bible engagement or prayer, the many, many practices that kids can do? And then thirdly, but how can we also help them to understand how to experience the presence of God, to sit down and pray together, to think about the goodness of God and think about God's truths? So going back to Christian Smith, he said it's not just any one of those three. It's when all three are together. So you want to have the best shot at influencing the faith of children, those prior to the age of, before the age of 13. It's building a ministry where all three of those factors are highly present, and that's what your team is focusing on.
That's great. And so you lay the research out for that, what you all have found, and then you kind of get into a little bit of how you get into that, you know, like mm-hmm. the flow and so forth, how you make that happen. So I get it. Belonging, belief.
Mm-hmm.
We also think about, you know, how people are interacting in their environment. So how do we do that as a local church? You mentioned having your mind children have these, you know, you've got like a file, if you will, however people want to do that. Yeah. So how do they get that as part of the flow, if you will?
Well, they say culture eats strategy for lunch, right? So I think it's not just a strategic set of priorities. So those three factors, belong, believe, become, or relationship, scripture, engagement, experience, those are objectives, right? These are unmovable objectives that our children's ministry or our church leadership wants to build child faith formation around. So those are objectives. So that's kind of in the strategic part of your brain. But then there's the cultural piece of how your church functions. So even the best strategy up here on the wall, so to speak, if it's not really woven into who you are as a people. Mm-hmm. So I would want to have conversations with our team, whether it's my children's ministry team or the church staff, of, hey, is that truly our culture? Mm-hmm. And if it's not our culture, what conversations do we need to have over a period of time to transform our culture to really be highly relational? Mm-hmm. Maybe we're a real fast-moving church, highly programmed, but we're not actually realizing, oh, we need to slow it down and make more time for this within our church community. So address the culture of who mm-hmm. you are as a people. And then you got that strategy up on the board to say, okay, in each one of these three areas, how are we really living this out and executing this?
So really sit down and almost like a little SWOT analysis.
Yes.
You know, what are we good at? And
yeah.
are we really accomplishing? Are we weak in some of these areas? And what kids do we have? What people do we have that are opportunities? But you're mm-hmm. saying, just kind of nicely look at this, look at some of our products,
yes.
what's happened to some of the kids who've gone through this church.
That's a great example there, yeah.
And just kind of get that down, and what are the outcomes that we want? You're really getting into that,
yeah.
I think, in the first chapter here. So what is it that we are looking for, and then what kind of culture brings that about?
Yep, correct. Yeah, a lot of I think discussion. Like, this is an age of extreme lack of clarity out in the world. So if we set aside time for discussion, create maximum clarity as we make decisions together as a team, I think it's that time is time well spent to really bring us all together.
So listeners, or a lot of them will do Awana. A lot of them will do CTS, church
yeah.
training programs from D6 Family. Really, they're thinking about how these different programs, how, you know, what we have, how
yeah, do
it
those
works.
Programs align to those? We
yes.
mentioned those three objectives. To what end? What we're trying to do is we're trying to ask, do our activities and our methodologies align to those types of
Very
objectives?
Good.
Yeah.
And then I guess we step back to our parents
yeah.
and we're like, hey, what are the outcomes you want for your children? This is what we know works, Bible engagement, belonging. Are you spending your time or you're spending your focus? Are you focused on those things?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in the book, I'm going on memory here. I mentioned four kinds of parents. There's the highly motivated, highly engaged parents. You've got your occasional parents.
Yeah.
You've got your somewhat going to happen parents, and then never going to happen. There's a good percentage of the kids in your children's ministry that are living in homes of not going to happen parents, meaning you can talk to them about discipleship at home, and it's just not going to happen. This is data. This isn't Matt's
it's
opinion.
It's just what it
it's
is.
Just, it's just factual.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of parents are not going to engage in discipling their own kids, which is why that highly relational environment in your church matters, because those kids, don't diminish the impact you can have with the 60, 75 minutes or 90 minutes you have with them a week. It can have a significant impact. Even a child come to your church once a month, don't diminish
right.
that highly relational impact you can have, because the Holy Spirit's at work.
And you're even part of your personal story.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's part of where it's at. And so surrogate grandparents, you know, we think of older people that's moved to your area. They can step in. They can do that.
Absolutely.
And then parents bringing, you know, that's friends of
yeah.
these kids can bring them along as well.
Yeah. So these four parents that we talked about, the ones where it's not going to happen. Then you've got the highly motivated parents. Those parents are going to disciple their kids with or without your engagement. Like, these are parents who are disciples. They're following Jesus. You know, what you do in the local church supplements what they're already doing. But it's really these middle two groups, the occasional and kind of rarely engaged. What you're trying to do there is just move the needle,
mm-hmm.
right? You're trying to get them to take steps. So I would have, going back to the idea of discussion, mm-hmm. as your children's ministry leadership team or volunteer team or church leadership team, I would have dialogue about what could we do. Again, there's these other two groups. They're going to do what they're going to do, which is, you know, we understand that. But how do we move these kind of groups in the middle to get them to take a step forward? Mm. I think that's where I would be having a lot of discussions with my team, is how do we motivate them, inspire them, but also train and equip them? Yeah.
And so you're thinking maybe have staff take the book, read it?
Yep.
You may think, well, we don't, you know, I'm a one staff church.
Yeah.
It's your volunteers or anyone that's interested in investing in young people.
Correct.
Take it, read it. Then they have an understanding. And it also, they have some talking points about what it is that really matters based on the research.
Yep.
Come around, discuss it, set up a plan to have the culture be what it can be to impact these kids for the Lord.
I like what you just said there. Like, even if you're a one staff member church, if you're the lead pastor without other staff, that's not really the conversation. The conversation is what three volunteers in my church do I want to have this conversation with to help really build up the culture where kids are seen, known, loved, and discipled. Wow. So those three volunteers, they're going to have ideas we're not even going to think of, and they're going to lead this thing forward.
And opportunities, you know, what kinds of work, what kind of work do they do, what kind of hobbies. We want them to understand we need them. They matter.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Matt.
Well, thank you.
Good job, buddy. Yeah. So check it out, d6family.com. Of course, anywhere good books are sold, you know, you ask for the book, you can order it online. We encourage you to take it. Encourage your parents to take a look at it. What is it that really matters? What makes a difference in the lives, the outcomes of our kids, and help them to invest in it? Keep doing Awana. If you're out there doing Awana, check that out. It's always, you can follow up with Matt about those kinds of things too, but we appreciate you stopping in and taking the time to be with us today.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us. You may know a parent, grandparent that would benefit from this podcast. Please take it. Share it with them. Remember, every little thing we do, it really does matter. We truly are better when we work together. We're better together. Thank you.